Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Here at Coffee and Capitalism, we're about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balance in work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. If you have a mortgage, a student loan, a car payment, you have to cash flow your life. And Coffee and Capitalism is about learning the fine art of balancing that cash flowing of life. Okay, on today's episode, we talk with Stephen Robbins with Royal Creek Consulting. He gives us a boots-on-the-ground update from the heart of the Permian Basin, the hottest place for business today. Stephen Robbins, Royal Creek Consulting, in just a moment. And then we talk with Jack Hamlin, Summit Engineering. Mr. Hamlin gives us the views on the recent evolution of environmentalism in the state of Colorado and how the 2018 ballot initiative would create a 2,500-foot buffer between new oil and gas developments and a whole bunch of different things that would virtually make it next to impossible to drill in a lot of the places where the drilling is possible. So Jack Hamlin talks about that and then also the perception of how oil and gas has changed in the state of Colorado. Don't miss the interview. You're going to want to check that out. Jack Hamlin, Summit Engineering, a little later on in the program. And then John Weaver with W. Reynolds Commercial Capital explains how his method to financing is unique enough that allows more options than a traditional lender. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch Coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies and I'm your host today. Up next, Stephen Robbins with Royal Creek Consulting.
Well, the economy is booming. I'm actually not staying at a hotel. Very fortunate that one of my clients has staff housing down here, and so I'm in a two-bedroom apartment with I call him a close friend and a great colleague, and so I'm very fortunate with that. But right now, I believe if you wanted a hotel room down here, you're looking at, on the low end, $450 a night. And we've seen it as high as $600 a night. So the demand for housing is here. And that is brought on by the demand for workers and hands. And it's booming. So I would say it's probably four times as busy out here as it was in January of 2017, and 4 times as busy as it was in May of 2016. So it's growing exponentially, which is great. We love to see it. We love to see more drilling rigs, and you know, we're just down here in the middle of all the madness and the chaos, but it's good chaos. A lot of new programs, new completion programs are being brought on. Companies are extending their programs, so we're just we're blessed to be down here and being a big part of all of this.
Did you say $450 a night?
Yeah, the Holiday Inn down here on the 250 loop is pretty consistently at $450 a night.
That's incredible. That's the most I've ever heard of. You know, there's been some other ones too, but man, that was quite a sticker shock when you said that.
Yeah, we were down here in March, and I had my family with me, and we unfortunately had to pay those rates to get a good quality hotel. We're seeing some of the lower end extended stay hotels are low 400s, but again, I mean, a good quality hotel is going to start about $450 and go up from there. And you know, as long as the economy can handle that, it's I guess drill baby drill.
Any observations in terms of, you know, job postings on LinkedIn and on a lot of social media, that sort of thing? I see that everybody's hiring. Of course, it's in the news. Are you seeing it down there at the McDonald's, at the gas stations, you know, in addition to the professional? Are the services hiring too?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen just from traveling west from Midland, Odessa area on I-20, headed out towards the Pyote and Monahans area, just your regular Family Dollar, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you know, your typical chains are out here hiring, and it's busy. It's really busy. A lot of traffic. You can't really go down I-20 too far without running into either roadwork or some sort of minor traffic accident.
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephen Robbins with Royal Creek Consulting, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. 3 different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.
Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Is there anything I won't do for money? I think it's pretty obvious not. I'm shameless. I don't care. You want me to paint your cat's front claws? I'll do it. If the price is right. One time, I mowed my neighbor's 5-acre lawn with a weed whacker for $3, and I earned it. You ever get stung by bees while cleaning the gutters? Have a Rottweiler do his business on you during a walk? One time, I was paid $400 to hit a realtor in the face with a pie. I'd like to get more pie work.
Kids and capitalism.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Jack Hamlin with Summit Engineering.
They're looking at banning hydraulic fracturing in the state of Denver, in the state of Colorado. Did I see all that right? I mean, you're kind of my boots on the ground there. So what's happening?
I haven't seen anything about banning fracturing per se. The ballot initiatives that are being proposed here in the state are, there's been talk of them for about the last now 4 or 5 years. And what they're talking about is a setback rule where drilling cannot take place any closer than, I think it was 2,500 feet within an occupied structure or a what they call a high consequence or something area where it's a playground or a school or something like that. And so when you draw these kind of concentric circles around half a mile is a long way, and when you draw all these circles around occupied structures in primarily Weld County in northeast Colorado, by the time you're done drawing all these circles of basically a diameter of a mile, about a mile, there's nowhere left to drill. So it's essentially, if passed, you'd never be able to, none of the E&Ps would be able to drill a new well. And that's kind of the issue they're up against, on top of some pretty heavy politicking around, anti-oil and gas, just a general anti-oil and gas sentiment around the state has kind of become a battleground of sorts between green energy and environment versus mineral rights and property rights and oil and gas.
I know a lot of times I refer to environmentalism as a religion, because people have become very passionate towards it. And I've seen over the last few years in Colorado just this rise in environmentalism, if you will, to where when I'm staying in hotels, I like kind of just hanging out in the breakfast bars in the morning, taking my time, chatting with strangers and that sort of thing, because it gets you a good gauge on different parts of life and everything. And a lot of people from the Colorado state, they would look over their shoulder before they'd say that they worked in oil and gas. And over the last 2 years, I noticed that increased a little bit more and more, to where what you just talked about, some of those ballot initiatives and everything. Do you know what's kind of happened down there in terms of that rise of environmentalism with kind of this,
sure,
just kind of
sure
this, this, just they're looking at oil and gas differently, and I don't know why.
Well, there's definitely some fanaticism happening, and a lot of that is part and parcel to oil and gas being infused with politics for one reason or another. The sentiment in the state, I've been at dinner when people, start talking about some of the projects we're working on, or that they kind of hunker down and whisper a little bit, because they don't want to catch that flack. I don't mind catching the flack personally. I'm proud of the industry. I got into this industry because I'm fascinated by energy. I use energy. I just got back from Austin yesterday on a jet that burned, kerosene for fuel, and heat my home. And I mean, all the prosperity that I've experienced has mostly been because of fossil fuels. And for whatever reason, it's really a strange paradigm for me. So I'm 40 years old, and so I'm old enough to have seen several oil and gas cycles. And even before I kind of understood it as a kid, people talked about energy independence and being energy independent. And through the advent of hydraulic fracturing and directional drilling, the American oil field worker has achieved that. And now that they've kind of unlocked this technological miracle, which, if you're educated about it and you understand it, it's on par with landing on the moon in terms of minerals and drilling and oil and gas. I mean, it completely changed the landscape of everything. gave us energy independence, and now that we have it, people don't want it in this country, or a segment of people don't want it. And I scratch my head at it all the time, personally. I don't get it. I have to deal with it because I love Colorado. I want to kind of, you know, I want to stay here. I want to work here. The oil and gas companies that we've worked with here in this state, they're absolutely stewards of the land. I mean, when you look at the pads they're drilling and the way that they're building the pad facilities and the related infrastructure, it's taking into account safety and environment first, and everything after that comes second. And so you look around at the land and the facilities, and they're not these rickety old things you think of when you think of oil and gas infrastructure from the 50s. It's technologically advanced, it's cutting edge, it's painted, it looks nice, and operates efficiently and with very little to no emission. And so, yeah, you know, getting back to what you're talking about, is the state experiencing kind of a, you know, there's a little bit of an adversarial approach between oil and gas and anti-oil and gas. Yeah, there is a battleground feel here, and you know, I just take that as a challenge in my job and being in the industry to help try and educate people, and you know, do it through factual experience as opposed to this. Again, this fanaticism, it's almost an overhyped, a lot of uneducated and miseducated people in the state around, you know, you hear the word fracking and it's almost ominous, but when you understand, A, what it is and how, and B, how it's done, if you understand that, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's just the word itself has become kind of a stigma, a negative stigma of sorts. And I think part of that, when I look at it, is the oil and gas industry has historically been pretty bad about educating people and being proactive in marketing and advertising and telling people what they're doing. And, you know, so we're partly to blame for that, but it's people like me, people in our company, people that love our industry that, you know, it's our duty and a challenge for us to go out there and educate people on what we're doing and how we're doing it and why it's impactful to their life.
It seems like the oil and gas companies are the last hope for local communication, it seems like.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a baton to be picked up there and help push that effort and overcome some of the incorrect negative stereotyping. But again, the stigma, the negative stigma around it, at the end of the day, what a lot of people don't understand or don't want to understand is that in this country, oil and gas drilling doesn't take place without a property owner agreeing to it. And so those minerals are owned, and they were purchased property. People own it and they have a right to it. And the oil companies aren't going in there. The exploration companies aren't going in there with an eminent domain attitude of finding that oil. They're working and paying people royalties for that stuff. And yeah, I mean, so the experience that I've had, Fruta isn't so much energy rich, but yeah, that Grand Junction area up towards Rangeley, down into the San Juan Basin near Durango, and then the Piance Basin, you know, all of western Colorado there, you know, it's up near Meeker and Grand Junction, and that we do a lot of work up there. And when I say that the oil and gas companies are stewards of the land, you know, when I try to have a rational discussion with somebody that's just very passionate the other way, they won't even listen to that type of discussion, even though I've, you know, spent a good portion of my career boots on the ground, staring at the facilities, designing the facilities, watching them be built, modifying them,
Mr. Jack Hanlon of Summit Engineering. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network, and my name is Jason Spies. Oh my God, stops when I go. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Jack Hanlon. We continue our interview. Jack Hanlon, Summit Engineering. We continue the interview. All right.
You know, half the time people wouldn't even know that there's a producing facility. A lot of the gas wells in Colorado and Western Colorado, you know, we're talking a pretty environmentally sensitive area. We're talking Roaring Fork Valley. There's some midstream infrastructure pipelines and that. You're talking Glenwood Springs to Aspen, pretty beautiful, environmentally sensitive areas, and there's pipelines that have been there since pretty much people have been there. The people up in those areas, they live in those areas, and they want it beautiful and safe, too, and so they take extraordinary measures to focus on safety and integrity management and making sure that facilities aren't these ugly industrial things sitting up against a beautiful landscape, that they're designed to look good and work well. And so, yeah, it's been a very interesting evolution here over the last 3 years, especially seeing the politics infusion. I mean, people, again, it goes back to just being kind of under or miseducated about it. The property rights of individuals are at stake here. And you hear quite a bit, oh, well, companies just want to profit. Well, yeah, every company in the country wants to profit, so there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see that as a negative. But the way that the companies that we operate with, and that's every producer in this state it's regulated. Well, Colorado has one of the most heavily regulated oil and gas industry climates. And our engineering company that I own and operate helps those companies come into compliance and stay ahead of the national trend in terms of designing facilities and infrastructure that meets or exceeds the air emission standards and safety protocols. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm extremely proud of that. I have no problem discussing. I mean, it's part of my life. I have to when I hear people discussing it and it's misinformation, or I have to address it because anti-energy rallies at the state capitol or you name it, I have no problem having rational discussions with people over it and trying to help educate them on exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it.
I was writing.
I'm really shocked a lot of times at, you know, it's like any talking point. I think social media, in a way, has divided people such that they can read the title of a certain article or topic, and they extrapolate some theory or their concept of the whatever topic, you name it, is picked out of the title of an article and an associated picture. Nobody goes and reads the article anymore, it seems like. And so social media has done this, had this strange impact of just dividing people along lines that don't make any sense. And for me, energy is one of them. Everybody uses it. If somebody in this country, if you want to go use solar energy or put up a windmill or move to an off-grid cabin, you can do that. You're free to do that. But people don't. They drive their cars and they use air conditioning and fly on airplanes and all that. And that's one thing that always just I scratch my head. Everybody that I talk to that's against energy, they have this notion of they don't want it, but they use it every day. So what do you do there? And there's a guy by the name of Alex Epstein who's written a book called The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. It's been a good kind of Bible for me in helping advocate my position, being able to state my position pretty clearly with those folks. At the end of the day, we've got to push through that stuff and really fight and hold our position on what we're doing for a living, or it'll be taken away. There's no doubt in my mind. I've watched, again, the fanaticism over the last few years. It's just gotten to a point where it's almost one of the top couple ballot measures in the state. You know, a traditional energy strong state like Colorado is under assault, and like to, you know, be a little more proactive and addressing those issues.
That'd be quite a switch if Colorado essentially was able to pass that measure. Is that measure on? By the way, Jack Hamlin with us, Summit Engineering here on The Crude Life. Is that measure on the ballot right now?
I believe it will be. I'm not 100% on that.
Which is essentially, it would outlaw fracking in the majority of the areas where you frack.
What it does is it changes the setback distances from where an oil and gas producer, or possibly a midstream company, could place an oil and gas asset or drill a well, right? So going back to if there's an occupied structure or a certain type of facility, a playground, a school, there would be a 2,500-foot setback on that. And so drawing those circles around all those structures throughout the northeast Colorado where the primary oil and gas production is, it would essentially choke out any new production, any new wells from being drilled. And so it's that's kind of what we're fighting.
All right. Okay. And then let's talk a little bit about what you do. I was writing down, that's why I was kind of paused earlier, that you know, you mentioned about the oil companies profiting, that sort of thing. And, you know, I get it. 20 years ago, that was kind of a bad thing to say and yada, yada type thing. But the fact of the matter is, everybody has to profit in order to make a living, in order to pay their bills. And the thing that I noticed about oil companies, what separates them from a lot of the other companies, is they want you to profit too. They don't want to not make you profit. Now, if there's a downturn happening, they might ask you to sharpen your pencil a little bit, but what I've noticed, what's nice about dealing with a lot of oil and gas companies, is they do want you to profit and they want your business to be successful. And that's not always the case with a lot of other industries.
Now, the oil and gas industry in particular, the people in it, the landholders you deal with, the people in the oil and gas companies, It's a family, and I think there's been kind of in the last 10 years, there's been a realization that we're all in it together, good and bad, and outside factors like OPEC can change our livelihood on a dime, literally. And so some of the best friends I have in life I've made in this industry, and yeah, absolutely, when times are good, everybody in this country benefits. I mean, energy prices are cheaper, gasoline prices are cheaper, the oil and gas, the field hands and the workers in the industry, of course, benefit from it. In a downturn, it's miserable. It's it goes from extremely prosperous and fun.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jack Hamlin with Summit Engineering or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on our entire social media, 350,000 followers. Go to thecrudelife.com, click on the social media tab. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. I'ma show you something that's never been shown. Your mind blown, your mind blown, and that's all you need to know. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your past will only last if you don't take off your mask. The inside is warm. You've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts, now on shale.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, John Weaver with W. Reynolds Commercial Capital. Talk to me a little bit about that accounts receivable side of your business.
Right. Accounts receivable factoring, really, that is critically important for numerous businesses out there. Especially the oil and gas industry, as they're now waiting 90 and 120 days to get paid on services that they've already performed. You know, when you have a business that is experiencing
these cash flow delays. You know, it creates these peaks and valleys in your income stream, and you're going to have problems meeting payroll. You're going to have, you know, you might need this new piece of equipment to, you know, to facilitate the service. You might need, you know, you might have a purchase order that comes in, and you need that money to go out and mobilize in order to be able to fulfill that purchase order. So, you know, I want to be clear here. Accounts receivable factoring is not the end-all, be-all solution. It is a solution, and it might work in certain instances, and in other instances it may not. I do a variety of different things. I do everything, you know, receivable factoring, purchase order financing, exploratory drilling financing, mobilization financing, numerous other things that we can accomplish. It really depends on what the business, you know, specifically needs. Every business is unique, and therefore every solution must also be unique. Speaking about accounts receivable factoring, you know, the way it works is generally you'll get within, you know, 3 or 4 business days, once the relationship is established, you'll get 80% of the money that you're owed by your debtor. You'll assign that debt to my lender or my factor, and then they will collect on that debt. You'll get charged a little bit, usually 1.25% for every 15 days that they have to wait to collect it. And then when they collect it, you'll get all the money that you're due minus their fees. So it really smooths out the peaks and valleys of the income stream that many people are struggling with. And, you know, they're not able to do the advertising that they need. They're not able to, you know, purchase these, you know, this piece of equipment that they need. They're not able to mobilize in the way that they need to fulfill a purchase order or any of these other business expenses that they need. So while it's not the perfect solution for every situation, you know, when all you have to hammer, everything looks like a nail, but it is a solution, and it's a solution that I'm happy and proud to bring to the oil and gas industry, and so are my lenders.
Who would be somebody that would be qualified for something like this? I mean, is it, you got to be a big company, a small company? I guess talk to me a little bit about, you know, who would be your customer for something like that when it comes to accounts receivables?
My ideal customer for accounts receivable is anybody that has any money that's owed to them for a business purpose. I can work with people, you know, small mom and pop auto shops, you know, that are only running, you know, 5 or 10,000 of accounts receivable per month, all the way up to, I guess I would say I don't want to, you know, put words in my lender's mouths here, but, you know, they can probably accommodate, you know, a lot, but, you know, anywhere up to like 5 or 10 million a month.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Weaver with W. Reynolds Commercial Capital, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Oh, where do you build the bridge? And I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, will you need?
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles.
every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too. Minnie's a crooked woman, diamonds on every hand. Trickin' mother for ya, everywhere she lands. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, or you can make a million too. Quick, Jack, when I jump over the candlestick, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market, you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.
Hey, folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.